Amen, amen. Come on, if you believe that the Lord's faithful in every season, including difficult ones, come on, put your hands together for him. Just give him praise. He really is. He really is. All right, if you have your Bible with you this morning, turn to Luke chapter 21, and just be patient. We'll get there here in a moment. And come on, who's glad to be in the house of the Lord besides me this morning? There's a lot of difficult things going on in our nation and people going through difficult seasons, but God is good, and he is faithful. Come on, I like that. God is good all the time. And all the time, come on, it's true. And I want to bring you a message this morning, continuing our series, Forever Young. And you know, it really is, you need to grasp this. This is the heart of God for you and for me, that we really can have our youth renewed as the eagles, that we really can remain and be and stay vital to the purposes and plans of God, even as we get older. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 says, in the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Come on, say all people. Come on, look at your neighbor, say that includes you. That includes you, all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams. And I just love this, that even as we get old, we're still supposed to be dreaming about what's possible when we come together and serve God together. And this implies that young people and old people, multiple generations are in the heart of God. He sees us serving and working and co-laboring together. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's the way multiple times all throughout the word he reveals himself to us. He's a multi-generational God. He's not intended to be the God of one generation. He is so, the word of God is being sown into that generation in the nation of Turkey so that the next generation can be raised up in the fear and knowledge of God. Amen? So God's called us to remain forever young. It's really his heart. It's more than just a scripture for a refrigerator magnet. It's God's heart for you. It's God's heart for me, that he satisfies your desires, according to Psalm 103, with good things. Why? So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Isaiah 40, verse 28 through 31 says this, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men will stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and they will not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. Come on, who wants to believe that for their life this morning in Jesus' name? So, you know, I began researching as I was just thinking, God, what would you have me to speak as we just go through this series Forever Young? And I began to just research, and as you just search some of the causes that influence aging and premature aging, there's one thing, there's a lot of lists that you can find and different studies that have been conducted, but there's one thing that regardless of the study that you find is just consistently attributed as a cause of premature aging, and it's worry, stress, and anxiety. And listen, I want to talk to you this morning about how to win the battle over anxiety. And the Lord began putting this in my heart early in the week before some of the things began to unfold over the weekend in our nation. And I believe it's the heart of God. It's the timing of God. He knew what we would be up against this weekend. Some of the things that are in the news that are going on this week. And I believe that he knew in advance what he wanted to speak to us as his people this morning and strengthen us in today. And not just today, but how many know that we live in a dark world, and there is evil that is at work in the world, but God is greater. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world, and someone ought to say amen. Amen. So are you there in Luke chapter 21? And let's read in verse 5, and it says, some of the disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left upon another. Every one of them will be thrown down. And he's talking to his disciples about what's yet to come, about what they can expect to happen. And you know, I before we read any further, I appreciate that what we're about to read is actually an encouragement from God. You're going to read about some things that are going to be perilous things, trying times, difficult seasons that we can even expect to face as believers. And listen, we do new believers a disservice if we promise them that when they give their life to Christ, everything is going to go well for them. And it's not true. God, Jesus never promised that. But what he did promise is that he would be faithful. He would never leave us. He would never forsake us. He has a way to take the things that the enemy means for evil and redeem them for his good. And so we as the people of God, listen, as we read through this, I just want to prepare you. We're going to read about some things that the Lord was proactive to warn us about and tell us about and encourage us with. And we can actually, I don't know about you, but I take comfort and strength from knowing that the God that I serve is aware of the things that we're going to go through. And he's just saying, you might as well just know from the start, you're going to go through some dark times. You're going to go through some perilous things. I'm telling you in advance so that when you go through them, you will not stumble. You will not fall. You will not be shaken. You can stand firm and stand fast knowing that I am still on the throne and that I am your God and I am with you and I am for you, even in the fire, even in the flood, even in the midst of these things. So now let's continue to read on here. And it says in verse 7, teacher, they asked, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place? And he replied, watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and that the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. Do not be frightened. Do not be frightened. Come on, look at your neighbor, say, don't be scared. Don't be scared. Do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes and famines and pestilences in various places and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors and all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me, but make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. Let me read that again. Make up your mind not to worry beforehand. Make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you the words and I will give you wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. And you'll be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair on your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life. Come on, look at your neighbor, say, stand firm. Stand firm. And when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that the desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out. Those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment and fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people, and they will fall by the sword, and they will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars, and on the earth nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. And people will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on in the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Come on, it's getting good right here. And when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. And come on, someone ought to say amen. Amen. So God is telling us, he's informing us, these things are going to happen and you might as well just be prepared for it. But he says, make up your mind not to worry beforehand. And listen, I believe we're living in some of these days. And we live in a society that's gripped by anxiety. And he says that, right there, he says that people will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is going on in the world around them. And listen, you don't have to look very far. You turn on cable news for 5 minutes and you see things that if you wanted to, you could become very apprehensive. And God said, you know, people will look around and see everything that's going on and they will faint from terror. They will be apprehensive. But I want to encourage you today. There is a life and there is a way and there is a place where the people of God can hide ourselves in and find ourselves in that allows us to live free from fear, free from worry, free from anxiety, not because of who we are, but because of who he is and because of who we know. Amen? So this is actually, believe it or not, this is going to be an encouraging message. This is going to be an encouraging message. I want to strengthen us. I want to encourage us. Come on. When we come to church, we ought to be comforted and encouraged. But I don't know about you. I want to be challenged. I want to be challenged in some things. I want to be challenged to grow in my faith. I want to be challenged to grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, that is what we need, people. When you look around and see all these things, there's a lot of things that we could run to. There's a lot of responses that we could have. And I'm telling you that as the people of God, we must run to him and know him more. And come on, as the days grow darker, the light will shine brighter. And how many remember? Remember in Exodus, the plagues that as God was delivering the people of Israel from their bondage in Egypt, he sent the plagues. And you remember the ninth plague was the plague of darkness. You remember the ninth plague was the plague of darkness. And actually, let's just go there. Exodus chapter 10, verse 21 through 23. Just watch what this says. And as Moses was executing this ninth plague, this plague of darkness that fell upon the land, it says in verse 21, the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand towards the sky so that darkness spreads over Egypt, darkness that can be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand towards the sky and total darkness covered all Egypt for 3 days. Watch what it says in verse 23. Catch this. No one could see anyone else or move about for 3 days, yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. And I believe it's a prophetic picture of what the world that we live in today. Darkness is covering the earth. Darkness that can be felt. Come on, you can just feel the darkness and you can feel the attack that is coming up against people, coming up against our culture. And it says that darkness that could be felt was there, but the people of Israel had light in their houses. Come on, that's the call of God for you and for me. In the midst of a dark world, we're called to be the salt and the light. And we can take courage and take comfort and take hope. As the world gets darker, the light of Jesus is going to shine brighter. Come on, someone ought to say amen. Make up your mind not to worry beforehand. I want to encourage you with three things this morning that I believe if we'll focus on these things, if we'll ask God, Lord, would you give me a deeper revelation of these three things, it will allow us and help us and assist us and strengthen us to do what God said right there, to make up our mind in advance not to worry. And number one is who you are in Christ, your identity in Christ. And I think that there's an impoverishment about understanding about really who we are because of what Christ Jesus did for you and for me. And that a lot of the struggles that we face in life, including fear and worry and anxiety about our future, or guilt or shame or condemnation about our past, really are tied to a lack of really getting a deep revelation about who you became when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that the quicker we can settle this matter and really begin to grasp and understand that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, that it allows us to begin to draw from and to receive a strength and a peace that surpasses understanding when we understand who we are to God, that you are special to God, that you matter to God, that Galatians 4 says, verse 6 and 7 says this, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Daddy, God. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. You're no longer a slave, you're a son. You're no longer a slave, you're a daughter. And if a son, then an heir through God. And I don't know about you, but I know that when someone messes with my sons and my daughters, I'm talking about in an earthly sense. I'm a dad. We've got four kids, praise God. And I know when someone messes with them, you can mess with me. But if someone messes with one of my kids, come on, some of you can relate to this. You can say something to me. You can do something to me. But when someone messes with one of my kids, come on, I'm about to go Jackie Chan on you. You're a child of God. I'm an imperfect father. In comparison to the heart and the nature of God and the depth with which he cares for you, the Bible calls me evil. You're a child of God. You're no longer a slave. You're a child of God. And I'm telling you, that thing that you're up against, that difficult thing, that painful thing, that unforeseen thing, that unexpected thing, that darkness that is waging war against your heart or your mind or your marriage or your family, God knows and God cares. And because you're a child, because you're a son, because you're a daughter, because you're no longer a slave to sin and to fear, you can come boldly. And you better believe that God cares. As much as you care about every area and every issue in your life, God cares because of your identity in him. Number two, who he is to us. Psalm 18, verse 2 says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." The Lord is my rock. Come on, it's worth reading again. My fortress, my deliverer, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold. He's the one in whom I take refuge. Listen, when situations or circumstances arise, when the storms of life begin to beat against you, when the winds of life begin to blow against you, let me ask you a question. Where do you run? To whom or to what? Some of us have been running to the wrong places, to the wrong voices, making bad choices. I'm a poet and I do know it. Listen, some of us have been running to those wrong places, wrong people, wrong voices, wrong choices. God, his heart and his desire is that he would be our refuge, a very present help in a time of trouble. We go through things and we stumble and fall and we stump our toe and the enemy comes and tries to get us to run from God's presence. And the invitation of God is to run right into his lap and say, "Abba, Father, Daddy, God, I'm going through some stuff and I'm thankful that you are my refuge." Where do you run to? Who do you run to? Come on, if we settle these things in advance, when the day of trouble comes, we decide, I'm predetermining. I'm making up my mind in advance not to worry about these things. I'm making up my mind in advance how I will respond when the storms of life come. I'll remind myself about who I am to God, that I'm no longer a slave. I'm a child of his. I'll remind myself about who he is. He desires to be my refuge, my fortress, my deliverer. Come on, we tend to compartmentalize God. We tend to compartmentalize God. We tend to put him on Sundays and Wednesdays, and we tend to kind of give him a defined role in our life. Maybe our health, maybe our marriage, maybe our money. But God wants to be involved in every detail, every area, every thought, every concern, every win, every challenge, every breakthrough, every setback. And we tend to compartmentalize him. And Moses tried this when God was speaking to him, and he said, "Who shall I say when I go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Or he said, who am I?" And God said, "I'll be with you. And this is the sign that to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you'll worship God on this mountain." And Moses said, "Suppose I go and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me,' and they ask me, 'What is my name?' Then what shall I tell them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." This is what you are to say to the Israelites: "The I am has sent me." And I love that Moses was trying to kind of package God in a box or put one name on him that could summarize all the benefits and all the goodness and who God was to him. And he said, "You just tell him I am." And I love it because what it means is, I don't care what you're going through, he is I am. You need peace? I am. You need hope? I am. You need deliverance? I am. You need freedom? I am. When the storms of life roar, when the winds of life blow, where do you run to? I am your joy. I am your peace. I am your shield. I am your hope. I am your healing. Come on, there's no circumstance, no challenge, no situation, no addiction, no broken relationship. There is nothing that God cannot step into the gap and become the answer and the solution for the very thing that you need. Tell him I am sent you. Tell him I am sent you. You're a child of God. He's your refuge. And third, understanding what we have access to because of those two things. What God really desires for us to have access to when we experience fear, when we experience worry, when we experience anxiety, because he knew those things would come. He wanted us to have the tools, have the weapons to be able to respond in a way that allows us to walk in supernatural peace. Come on, peace that surpasses understanding. It means that in the natural, you might have a reason to kind of be flustered. In the natural, you might have a reason to be fearful. In the natural, you might have a reason to be anxious. But God's plan and God's heart for you and for me, come on, for every one of us in this place today, is that we can have a peace that surpasses understanding. And John 14, verse 27, Jesus said it this way. He said, I'm leaving you with a gift. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and of heart. And listen to what he says. He said, the peace that I give is a gift that the world cannot give. He said, the peace that you're gonna experience when you get close to me is a peace that's a little different from the peace that you're after in the world. The peace in the world is fleeting and it's circumstantial. The peace that I get will be with you in the midst of the storm. The peace that I get transcends your circumstances. And he said, this is a gift that I'm leaving you. This is a gift that I'm giving you. So don't be troubled or afraid. My peace I leave with you and my peace I give you. Come on, that's a good gift. That's a good gift. I don't give to you as the world gives, so do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And I don't know about you, but there have been times where I've allowed the things of this life or the things of this world or those voices, the roaring lion that goes around seeking whom he may devour, seeking whom he may destroy, to allow me to trade this gift. You guys remember Esau when he traded his birthright for a cup of porridge, for a bowl of soup? You guys remember that? And we could be hard on him, but I do it all the time. I've got this gift, I've got this place, I've got this peace, I've got this identity, I've got this rock, I've got this fortress, I've got this refuge who invites me to come boldly to his throne and to cast my cares upon him because he cares about me. And I go through something and I trade that invitation and that opportunity for insert whatever it is for you. A person, a drug, food, media, whatever it is for you. I don't know about you, but I want to get to that place where I do not allow anything to steal from me what God paid a high price to give to me. That's his invitation. Cast your cares, cast your cares, cast your cares. In fact, it says it this way, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. When anxious or worried, cast your cares, all your anxiety, everything. You know, how many of you ever have a hard time praying because you're distracted about other things that are going on in your life? Come on, have you ever found yourself in that place where you sit before God or you're trying to have your time of prayer and you just realize that you're really not getting much accomplished because your mind is just drifting towards the challenge or the relationship or the finances or the errand that you need to run or the fact that you feel overwhelmed? And can I just encourage you with something? In that moment next time, can you just realize that really those things that are distracting your mind from your time of prayer really are the things that you ought to just stop and be praying about? We got to see it differently. Prayer is not a religious exercise. Prayer is not something that we just have to get through. This is the invitation of God. He says, cast your cares, your anxieties, your fears, your worries, your doubts, I'm not scared of them, says God, bring them to me. Cast them on me, put them on me. How long do I have to pray, Pastor T? How about until you have peace? And you just take those things that are distracting your mind and pulling on your ability to spend time with God, and you just say, those are the things I need to pray about. That child that's not serving God, that financial need, that bill, the bills that are mounting, that health issue, that need or that challenge at work, that whatever it is for you, it's the invitation of God. Cast your cares, cast your worries upon me. Philippians 4, verse 4 through 9 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again, rejoice. Come on, say it, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice always. You mean even when I'm going through a difficult season? You mean even when the headlines say this or that? You mean even when there's uncertainty about our nation? You mean even when there's always rejoice in the Lord? Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. What happens? The peace of God. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What you've learned or what you've received or what you've heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. Listen, it's the heart of God for you. Hear me, man of God. Hear me, woman of God. It's the heart of God for you to get so close to him that you soar above fear, worry, and anxiety. It really is the heart of God. It really is possible. Listen, it's not easy, but it's simple. And it's possible for us as believers, as sons and daughters of God, to live a life that's free of fear, worry, and anxiety. Not because we don't come up against things that cause us to feel that emotion, but because we know what to do with it. We run into the arms of a good God. We come into his presence. We take that very thing and we put it before the cross. We say, Lord, I'm casting this upon you. I'm leaving this with you. I'm trusting this to you. Hebrews 4 says that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. That we can come boldly with confidence. And look at this promise. So that we may receive mercy and find grace. When? In a time of need. To help us in a time of need. Well, would you stand to your feet this morning? And I want to give us a moment or two to respond before we sing this last song. And what I know about a message like this is that every one of us deals with this issue. Maybe some of us have different triggers or different issues or different circumstances that are causing us, but every one of us deals with this issue. And I want to give us a moment this morning to really just take a moment and allow God to just deepen these three revelations so that we can begin to respond differently when the fear, when the worry, when the anxiety begins to rear its ugly head in our life. And so come on, would you just place yourself in a posture of just receiving before the Lord? You might want to lift your hands before him. It's just such a powerful posture. It's a small act of faith that we can use to just show that we're responding to what God's trying to do in our hearts and in our lives. And in a lot of ways, it's twofold. We're bringing something and we're laying it before him, and we're also receiving. We're saying, Lord, as I lay this thing down, this issue, this area, this mindset, whatever it is that's been causing me to battle with fear, worry, or anxiety, I'm also holding my hands before you and asking you that you would deepen, Lord, my revelation about who I am in you, my identity in you, that I'm a son, that I'm a daughter, that I've chosen, that you paid a high price to cover everything in my past and make me a new creation, for all the old things to be passed away and to make me a new creation. And that now I have access to you, and I don't have to come into your presence in a cowardly way. I can come boldly. I can run into your lap. And in every season, the good and the bad and everything in between, I can come and even bring those troubles, bring those worries, bring those cares, bring those concerns to you and cast them upon you. Lord, I thank you that you would just deepen, Lord, our revelation of who we are in you. I pray, Lord, that you would deepen our revelation about what that means to us because of who you are. That you hold the whole universe in the palm of your hand, Lord, and that you wrote the end from the beginning, and you know everything in between, God, and you are worthy. We can trust you. Every detail, every circumstance, every decision, God, we can trust you. And I thank you, Lord, that that's the invitation that we have, God, to cast our cares, to cast our worries upon you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's sing this song, team. Come on, church family, as we're singing this song this morning, let it resonate maybe. It's a popular song, you've heard it before, but maybe it's going to mean something a little different. Maybe it's going to hit in a little different place this morning. And as we sing this, let it rise up in you who you really are, that this is God's word. It's more than a clever lyric to a song. It's the word of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, worry, anxiety, because of who I am, because of what Jesus has done for me. Amen? Amen? Come on, amen? Amen. Come on, let's sing it.